Russia's war with separatists in Chechnya has officially ended after more than 15 years. Yet this Muslim region is once again in the throes of violence, and it is getting worse. Rebels have stepped up their attacks, and the Chechen authorities have cracked down on opponents by carrying out abductions, torture, and killings. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev recently called violence there one of his biggest problems. NPR's Anne Garrels has more.
Moscow bombed this largely Muslim region of Russia into submission during two wars following the breakup of the Soviet Union. The capital, Grozny, once a city of 500,000, was all but leveled. Under the current pro-Moscow leader, 32-year-old Ramzan Kadyrov, the center of Grozny has been rebuilt. For someone who hasn't been here for a while, the transformation is mind-boggling. Where there was nothing but rubble, there are now new apartments, government offices, and Europe's largest mosque surrounded by acres of neatly tended gardens. But all this has come at a huge price. Kadyrov, once a separatist himself, has used the free hand given him by Moscow to brutally crush signs of rebellion. He has turned Chechnya into his personal fiefdom. While battling Muslim extremists, he has promoted his own version of Islam, urging women to stay at home and obey their husbands. He has endorsed honor killings, the murder of female relatives who have shamed the family. In the newly renovated market, Kusin Tutayeva has nothing but praise for Kadyrov. "We need a strong leader," she says, comparing him to Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin. Moscow has turned a blind eye while Kadyrov's tactics brought a semblance of stability. But now there are once again almost daily attacks by Chechen separatists, more and more of them by suicide bombers. Chechens, like Adlan Daudov, hoped Kadyrov would bring peace and prosperity. But he says Chechens see growing corruption, and people once again live in terror. He says Chechens now fear Kadyrov's forces more than the rebel fighters. Tamara Vashhabova's son was gunned down by Kadyrov's security forces in May in front of dozens of witnesses. As her elderly husband cuddled his dead son, Kadyrov's police demanded he curse him and thank them for killing his son. When he refused, they beat the old man unconscious. The authorities would not give the family their son's body for burial. In August, Tamara says special forces took away a second son, Abdul.
"They put him in a car and would not tell us where they were taking him. We have looked everywhere. No one will admit having him. He has disappeared."
There have been dozens of similar cases. Abdul's uncle, Musa Vashhabov, says Kadyrov's forces now go after relatives of those they believe are challenging his rule.
"People don't know what will happen to them. If everything was done according to the law, fine. If I have done something wrong, arrest me. Allow me to have a lawyer. Take me to court. But here they torture you and kill you."
Kadyrov's rivals have been gunned down in Vienna, Dubai, and Moscow, as well as Chechnya. Last month, acclaimed human rights activist Natalia Estemirova became one of the latest of his critics to die here in an unsolved killing. Two more human rights activists were subsequently found dead in the trunk of their car. Kadyrov denies any involvement. The remaining human rights activists fear they will be next. Heda Saratova recently appealed to Thomas Hammerberg, the human rights commissioner for the Council of Europe. He was on a visit to Chechnya.
When I go home every night, I feel the shadow. I'm being shadowed by a possible killer. And just because I talk to these people, I've been persecuted."
Hammerberg said he has repeatedly raised the issue of illegal abductions and killings with Moscow, so far unsuccessfully.
"This is, of course, a very major concern for us. The problem of impunity, that a crime is never fully investigated and guilt established.
And it's not just the present which is a problem. Mines Russian forces placed here during its wars in Chechnya have not been cleared. Moscow has not provided maps of minefields as demanded by international law. And Moscow has provided no assistance in helping to discover what happened to more than 5,000 Chechens who disappeared during the wars. Zeynep Jambekova's son was taken by Russian forces in 2003 and has not been seen since. She's no hope of finding him alive, but begs Hammerberg to help her at least find his body. For well over a decade, Moscow has ignored repeated requests for a DNA lab so bodies from unmarked graves can be identified. Again, Hammerberg expressed frustration with Moscow's refusal to do anything.
We have raised this a lot. There is a reluctance at the very top to deal with this.
Hammerberg says Moscow does not fully understand the deep resentment Chechens with missing relatives have against the authorities. Increasingly, he says, Chechens once again see the Russians and their Chechen proxies as the enemy. Violence, he says, will only lead to more violence. Some analysts close to the Russian leadership believe Kadyrov has gone way too far. But there's no evidence the Kremlin plans to change policy. Anne Gerrels, NPR News, Chechnya.
And joining me now for a few more details on this story is NPR's Anne Gerrels. Annie, you said that the transformation of Chechnya is mind-boggling. What did you find especially surprising about it?
You know, you can't say but wow. Grozny hasn't just been reconstructed, but rebuilt from scratch in the past few years. I stood where I had once lived there and recognized absolutely nothing, and it is dramatically more Muslim in character.
I was intrigued by the idea of not only a mosque, but acres of gardens around a mosque. It sounds elegant. It sounds expensive.
In the center, yes, but factories and places of work for Chechens haven't been rebuilt, and there's a huge amount of unemployment.
You also report that the pro-Moscow leader there, Ramzan Kadyrov, has turned Chechnya into his personal fiefdom. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, bluntly, he's a complete dictator, pure and simple. His residence boasts a zoo, a racetrack. And while on the surface he appears loyal to Moscow, some analysts wonder if, in fact, Kadyrov doesn't, in fact, have his own aspirations to create an independent Chechnya under his own control. And certainly most Chechens, whatever their feelings about Kadyrov, are becoming more and more distinct from Russians as they become more and more Islamic. And they believe Moscow sees them as second-class citizens. I've got to say, the fight for Chechnya is far from over.
Thanks very much, Annie.
Thank you.
NPR's Anne Gerrels.